Okay, let's get started right away with the pre-launch. And the main things we're going to be doing here, or the main things that you want to do in your pre-launch, is finalize the product, or not necessarily finalize it, because there'll probably be some changes in during your pre-launch, but really nail down what your product's going to be, what the objections are in the market, what do you think they're going to be. It's also to build and or warm your list. It's to build early buzz. This is like before the thing's even going, get some pre-launch buzz going, to attract partners. And this is, if you're going to have a big JV launch, if you're going to have an internal launch, you don't need to, but it's still nice to start sowing the seeds for partners. It's to identify your story. Now, we worked on a story a little bit last week in module one. Now we're going to take that homework and we're really going to work it into a story. And it's to identify your timeline, sort of your overall plan for your launch and your pre-launch content. And we're going to be covering a bunch of tools, because some of these tools you're going to want to start getting set up now before you head into anything. Okay, so that's the quick overview. And now let's get to the identifying products, the product, and your objections. Okay, now this is one of the things a lot of people that are just on the outside looking at product launches don't really get, and that's how important it is to really get the right product and identify the objections ahead of time. Because if you've got a great product and a great offer, what I like to call a crushing offer that really matches what the market's looking for, and then you also, and so you've got the crushing offer, and then throughout the pre-launch, that you answer what the potential objections are, then you got a winner. I mean, this is one of the classic approaches to sales, is basically if you can take away all the objections, if you can overcome all the objections to a sale, then you've got the sale made. So, I mean, we do that during the pre-launch, but we start it really in the pre-launch is where we start going after this. So let's open this up. These are the four main areas, main ways that I go about doing this, identifying, working on that product and the objections. And this is really, remember, the launch is about a conversation, and this is really the pre-conversation. So I do it through surveys, through discussion through a general discussion, and that would be discussion with my list in general, and then also through forums and through social media. So let's take a look at surveys, because this is something that's important. Now there's three main ways that I go ahead. Let's go ahead and start with email. Email is the easiest one, and that can be as simple as you send out an email to your list and you ask them, what they want, what they need. And let me show you an example of that. Okay, now this is just some text I put at the bottom of a standard email I would send out to my list. It's very, very simple. Finally, I have a question for you. If you could have a private conversation with me, what two questions would you like to ask me? Send me your questions here. I give my email address. If they just hit the reply button in their email program, it'll come right into me. That's all for now. Look for your next issue. Then down here, the PS, please send me your questions. What two questions would you like to ask me? What do you need help with? I won't be able to always answer your questions individually, but I will try to answer them in a future issue. So in this case, I'm basically just fishing for general questions. And now if you have a more specific idea for your product, it often makes sense to give some hints here. This is just a real general question. This is general conversation starter. I'm looking for some feedback. And a lot of times down in here, some magic text might be, instead of this, it might be, P.S., yes, I'm really serious. Go ahead and push the reply button now and tell me your questions. People will do what you tell them to do. So when you actually go ahead and push the reply button now, they can get a lot of response. So you could just say, You could just do one of these deals. Tell me your questions. There we go. Oops. Yes, I'm really serious. Go ahead and push the reply button now and tell me your questions. What do you need help with? You don't have to put this in here. So you could do this as a different PS. I wouldn't do these two PSs one on top of each other because they're basically saying the same thing. So you can either use this one up here or use this one here. These are really powerful, especially I've been using this one a lot lately. Go ahead and push your reply button now. I really want to know. Let me know what you're thinking. Okay, that last one was asking for interaction via email. We were encouraging them to write back. Now, this one's a little more focused, and this one's going to send them to a survey. This is, I actually featured this one in Product Launch Formula version 1, and it's a great little piece here. This is for a trading course that I was publishing, and basically, I just came out and said, quick announcement and a favor. I love that for a subject line. So I put this up there because this is what they're used to getting from me. I often like to have a prefix for my emails so that they instantly know what it's about. If they're used to getting an email with that prefix, then they're going to open that as they go forward. Because these are people that are paying a lot of money to get email updates from me. So just a quick announcement and a favor. And I love asking for people for a favor in my emails, because then you're relating to them. I mean, if you're going to ask a favor, it's almost like, you know, you're a friend or an acquaintance, someone they know. So, you know, just here, Jeff Walker here will be sending a traders update in just a little bit, but first I need to ask you a favor. Now, this is actually what I like to call the first shot across the bow. And that's the idea of this is the first message to them that there's something coming. There's the first inkling. And the whole idea of this pre-launch is to start to build, well, it's to get the interaction going, it's to warm them up, it's to try to get the objections, try to get the product nailed down, but also just to this build curiosity and build some early anticipation. And, you know, at this point, we're definitely not in a sales mode. So it's like, it's great to be able to tell them and hint about stuff when you're nowhere near being in a sales mode. And at this point, you can't be in a sales mode because you don't have your product ready yet. So here, I just say we're really close to wrapping up our long-awaited trading manual. We'll be releasing it in early January. But before we do, we have to ask you a couple of questions. Can you help us out? Again, to me, it's like, when you're asking for favors and asking for things, it's part of the normal human discourse. And don't be afraid to ask for favors. Because, I mean, especially if you have a decent relationship with your list, you come out with something like this, it's building a relationship, even though you're asking for them for something. I mean, you're not asking them to buy stuff. And people are used to, that's the only thing they get asked in their emails is to buy stuff. So here we're just asking them. You can answer the questions here and get a little more detail on the trading manual. So I do have a little hook here. You know, the hook is if you go take the survey, you can get a little more detail on this. And then I gave them the link. And I like to use URLs when I can that sort of are explanatory. So question, you know, that's just, I mean, we're throwing that idea out there that it's a question. Questions are all about curiosity and anticipation, right? I mean, it's a subtle thing. It's not like you're going to sell a ton of courses because you name your URL question.htm, but it's just the little details. So now I want to show you the survey that we actually, this URL would take them to. So I'm going to open up that survey now. So this is SurveyMonkey, and it's just surveymonkey.com right there. And basically, I've been using this service for, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years. It's not like the most sophisticated thing. I just have comfort level here, and it generally does what I want it to do. There's a free version you can get, and there's also a paid version. I think it's like $20 a month or something like that. You know, if you go here and click on pricing, you'll get all the details. But there is a free version, and the free version is actually very usable. I can't even remember what the difference is with the paid version. I think you can get more people taking a survey, and I have absolutely no idea. I just go check it out. But I mean, and there's other ones as well. And but this is the one I use. So I'm just going to take you inside so you can actually see the survey that I sent people to with that. So here we are inside the survey. Now this is the actual the design form. This isn't what people would see when they took it. It would look very similar, but basically this is where you can, you know, you can add questions. You know, you edit questions, you add questions here, you can move stuff around. So basically this is the text when they came. It would look very, very similar. In fact, I could just open that up. I'm gonna go ahead and click preview here. There we go. So this is actually what it, I lost it. Where did it go? Here we go. This is what it would look like if they came in to take the test, take the survey. It's not a test. So we're very close to finishing our long-awaited trading manual. We've literally been working on this for more than 4 years now, but we're finally getting ready to wrap it up. We're going to be releasing it in early January. So just, you know, we're actually starting to build some of the early reluctant hero stuff. And just talking about how long we've been working on this thing, that helps actually build anticipation. This course will be entirely focused on support and resistance. Then we tell them what it includes. And then we're going to cover all the ways that we use to generate our support and resistance zone. So this is basically building value. We're telling them what's going to be in it. However, we need your help before we finalize everything and send off to the printer. We need to make sure we've covered everything. What are your top two questions about support and resistance that we absolutely need to answer in the course? So this is basically what we're going to end up doing is gathering objections here. We're also going to find out, you know, at this point, the course is mostly done, but you can always go back and add in more stuff as a bonus, or just add another CD or another, print off another manual or whatever. It's pretty easy to add stuff in if you have any major holes in the course. Now, we didn't have any major holes in the course, so we were able to basically, you know, still identify objections here. Then, of course, I just wanted to know what type of computer they're going to use just to make sure the stuff we were doing was compatible. So let me see. I'm just going to go ahead and select Mac, and I'm just going to say objection. And so this is someone would fill this out. Then they would hit the next button. Now, okay, thanks for your response. That's what we needed. If you want us to contact you as soon as the course is ready, leave your name and email address below. And so let's see, we go. What am I going to put here? Okay, now this is where the testimonial cruncher comes in. This is a very, very powerful technique. I'm going to show you a couple ways I've used this. Okay, so as soon as they enter their name and their information and come back, okay, we got it. Thanks, we will be in touch. That's the end of the survey. One more thing that's purely optional. This isn't part of the survey. We have lots of raving fans, but since our support and resistance course is brand new, we don't have any testimonial letters from any of our raving fans. Perhaps you could help us out with a testimonial for the support and resistance zones that we publish every day. It doesn't have to be too involved. Here are a couple of examples. And then I actually model some testimonials for them. And if you want to get good testimonials, the problem is a lot of times people give you testimonials. They're just like, oh boy, you guys are great. Or, oh Jeff, I love your course. Oh boy, this is really great stuff. But those aren't really good testimonials. The good testimonials are the ones that are, boy, Jeff, I took your stuff and I used it in my trading and I made a ton of money, or something along that lines. So here, what I did was I modeled testimonials for them. And I will tell you, I completely made these up, because I nowhere in here did I claim that there were testimonials. I was just showing, here are a couple of examples. So I never actually used these examples in my marketing. I just used them to show them what good testimonials look like. I would never in my sales process ever, ever, ever make up a testimonial. You can get in big trouble for that, and it's just dishonest and unethical. You do not ever, ever, ever want to make up testimonials. But in this case, I was just modeling testimonials to show them what are examples of good examples of testimonials. And then, so what I did was I put these down here. Thanks so much for your updates. They make me money. Today I was just watching a falling market, blah, 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 blah. These are the kind of testimonials I want. So I'm showing them the kind of testimonials I want. Okay, so basically, let's step back and look at the psychology here. The psychology is they were just on that page and they said, you know, we asked them what are their top two questions. So they told me what their top two questions are. Just in this tiny little process, I'm building a trust relationship with them because they gave me their top two questions and they told me about their computer. Then they hit the enter button. Then at that point, if they're interested in the course, I ask for their name and the email address. So at this point, they're two steps into this. They're in this mode. They got their fingers on the keyboard. They're in the mode of filling forms out. And this is the perfect time to come back and ask them for the testimonial, right? Because a lot of people, there's this thing that's called the Zegernik effect, and don't ask me to spell it, but basically it's the type of, it describes this thing in our brains that makes us want to complete tasks. So I just took them through two steps of the task, and now I'm on the third step, and just naturally a lot of people are going to want to fill that out to complete the survey. Even though up at the top I told them it's done, they'll skim through this stuff and they'll get down here and they'll read this stuff and they're like, yeah, I can give Jeff one of those. Now, it's important to understand, even though we have never published a home study course, we never told people about or we never published how to do this stuff. We have been publishing in the prior years these support and resistance zones. So, it's a piece of trading, a piece of the markets where it's these zones where the market might turn. And so we've been publishing the zones. We'd never told people how we were going to publish the zones. Now, in this product, we were actually going to show them how. So I thought, okay, I don't have any testimonials from people teaching me, from me teaching people how to find those zones, but I could probably get testimonials from people that talk about how great my zones are. So it's not a perfect testimonial, but it's pretty darn close. And so that's what I was going after. So I said, can you give us a testimonial about our support and resistance zones? If you do, it may appear on our webpage attributed to your name and city. And so I gave them a space to put their testimonial here. I gave them a place to put their name and their city. Now, of course, I already had their email address from the previous page. So if I needed to contact them to make sure about the testimonial, to ask any questions, I could always contact them. But, you know, I don't want to publish their email address on my webpage because then they're just inviting spam for them. It would be a more powerful testimonial if we did have their email address on the page. But it's just in this day and age, it's not a good thing to be publishing people's email. So this is a testimonial cruncher. Basically, the idea is you take them through the survey. That starts off, well, first of all, we're getting great information. We're getting their objections here. I personally wanted to know this just so I knew what kind of software I should supply them with, if I needed to worry about Macs or Linux. But, you know, so this I was interested in. I was really interested in their objections. Very, very important to get their objections. But if you can take it the next step and do the full-out testimonial cruncher right here, then all of a sudden, you've got yourself, I mean, what you've done is you've built a process to get great testimonials. So let me go on to another example. We'll show you where I did something very similar. Oh, before I go off to another example, let me just show you the type of stuff we got or the type of responses I got. So basically, now I'm in the analyze results section. And I'm just going to go ahead and click the view, and it opened up a new window for me over here. I'm going to bring that over here, and you can see here's when I actually tested the survey. But now we're going to go through, and here's all. Now this was where I was asking them the top two questions, and basically now we can go through and see what their objections are. Here we go. Here's a good one. How can I determine that support resistance has been tested fully and that the price is finally ready to reverse? How can I determine if the boys are running stops before they... So here, this is like how to use the stops, or how to use the support and resistance. Here's another one. Which zones are going to hold? Another one. They're worried about how to actually use them, how to tell which zone works. What part does volume play? So someone's really worried about volume. The methodology, people want to know the exact methodology. How zones change over time. And so, I mean, we got all kinds of responses in here. There's just time frames. People want to know about time frames. I'm new to this. What's your key indicator to determine whether to take a position? How to calculate the zones? How to distinguish the move stalled? I mean, there's just all kind. Now, I know this is for most of you, this is just Greek. You're just like, okay, what are those guys talking about? But this is basically gave us fantastic information. And we ended up actually being able, I took some of the text straight out of here and actually used it in my sales letter. Just on and on, fantastic information. Lots of very detailed questions. So this tells you what people are worried about. And also, if you've missed something, you can go, in terms of your product, you can go and add it into your product. So these are the type of results you get. Now let's go take a look at the old testimonial cruncher portion of this. Now, before I move on, a little bit more data here. You can see I had about 258 people come. 191 answered this first question about the top two questions. 258 answered about what type of computer, because I made that mandatory that everyone had to answer that. Now, if we go on to the next page, of the 258, 200 of them gave me their name and their email address that said they're, showed further interest in this course. And then if we go to the third one here, 55 out of the 258 actually gave me testimonials. And if you think back to the first page, 191 actually gave me their two questions. So of the 191, 55 actually gave me the testimonial. So that's more than 25% actually followed through and gave the testimonial. Now, I will tell you that this survey was, this is to my clients. It wasn't to prospects. I actually split out the survey. So I sent prospects to one survey and clients to another survey because I wanted to keep the numbers, or I wanted to keep the data separate. So 55 of these people actually filled this out and gave a testimonial. So let's go take a look at the testimonials. This one is a lousy testimonial. I think your accuracy is very good. It's just not a good testimonial. But, the fact is you're not going to get all good testimonials. You're looking for, 6 or 8 or 10. And here we go. Awesome information. It's like having a crystal ball. That's a very good testimonial. It's not perfect, but it's very good. And I'll tell you what, it's been a long time since I wrote that sales letter, but I'm willing to bet I put the words crystal ball in the sales letter. I mean, that is good sales copy. Here's another good one. You've taught me more than anybody ever could. My whole outlook on investing has changed. That's pretty good. It's not a great testimonial. Here we go. This looks pretty good. I'm truly amazed at the almost pinpoint accuracy you have in your forecast of daily support and resistance level. No one gets it right 100% of the time, but you're consistently closer than anyone I've ever seen and frequently exactly on the mark. I've been a full-time trader for more than 4 years. I've never seen the kind of accuracy that you guys have day in and day out. How do you guys do it? That's a good testimonial. So you can see how this works very, very well. Again, you're only looking for a few good testimonials, but this is a great way to get them. Of course, we had hundreds and hundreds of others that came in from our prospect list because our prospects could actually see these numbers as well. So this is how, even though the product was brand new and we'd never taught this whole idea of how to find support resistance, we'd actually used a similar product where we publish support and resistance. I hope this isn't shading things too closely for you, but if you can't get testimonials about your product, you can often get testimonials about you. That's the bottom line. You know, the best testimonials are about your product and about how people actually used your product and did really well with your product. But oftentimes, if it's a new product, you can't get that. So the next best is to do like a little mini launch and get some clients in and teach them and then have them have success and then be able to show their success. But if you can't do that either, the next best thing is get testimonials about yourself. If you can't get them about your product, get them about yourself. So now I want to show you another example, different market of how I did something very, very similar. Okay, now I want to show you something very similar that I did in a different market, different list. This time it was for the launch of Product Launch Formula 2.0. And this is an email I sent to my Product Launch Formula version 1 owners. So I had all these people that have bought Product Launch Formula 1. I kept my relationship up with them over the years by giving them lots of really cool extra bonuses. And now it was time to start moving them towards Product Launch Formula 2.0. So here's the subject line is PLF : extra bonus number 32. Now, again, I've told you that I like to use prefixes, not all the time, but basically I use this just for my PLF owners. And that way, when they see that thing come in, they know it's from me and they know it's intended just for my owners. And it's generally I'm giving them something cool, like another extra bonus. So here it starts off. Okay, it's time for the final Uber bonus for PLF 1.0. And it's the Product Launch Formula Owners Inner Sanctum. Now, right in here, you know, I'm basically saying it's the final bonus sort of plays on the fact that I've been giving them lots of bonuses over the year. This is like, remember, one of the things we do is warm our list, right? We warm our list when we're coming up on a launch. And so how do I warm the list? By giving them another bonus and by reminding them that I've been giving them bonuses over the years. So now I'm going to give them the PLF Owners Inner Sanctum. Now here I go right for the jugular right off the bat. Important, in order to qualify for this bonus, you need to fill out a very short survey. Here's the link to the survey. So sometimes I'll do this in an email where I'll actually give them a link right at the top. If I can give them a real short reason why, a good reason to go click on the link, especially for this list, my Product Launch Formula Owners list, where I have a strong relationship with them, then I feel like I can go with this strategy of giving them a link right at the top. And of course, that's nice because if you're going to do 300 or 400 or 500 words of text and then a link, then you really have to nail it with that text. And I mean, I'm pretty good at writing these emails, and I, you know, totally up for that. Sometimes I'll even write 600 or 700 words before I give them a link. But if I can get away with, you know, telling a story or giving a reason why really quick in a few words and then giving a link, then I do like to do that. I mean, I generally have two theories or two approaches to email. One is to get a link at the top, another link part of the way in, and then another link in the PS. That's one way. The other way is to take them down 300 or 400 words and then give them a link. And then usually I'll do a link, another 30 words link, and then I'll do a link down here. That's some of the general the general recipe that I use. I do like to get a link in a PS. I like to get two links in the body. And, you know, if I can work it out this way where I give them a quick reason why and then hit them with this, I like that model. So anyways, I tell them you're going to qualify for the bonus, you got to take the survey. So it's just giving them right up front, this is what you got to do to get the bonus. And I'm, you know, in other words, incenting them to go take the survey. Okay, now here I tell them a little bit more about the bonus. Then I lead them down and I give them another call to action there. Okay, so let's go take a look at the survey that I put together. Okay, this is what the survey looks like. And the title of the survey would be Application PLF Inner Sanctum. And here I basically tell them what they get as part of this thing. And then I ask them for their name and for their email address. Very, very simple. I give them basically a description of the bonus here. Then let me click over to the next page, page 2. Remember, there are no wrong answers. Everyone will get in the inner sanctum if they complete all the answers. So here we go. What are the most important things I need to cover in PLF 2.0? And now, remember that these are product launch formula owners. So this isn't perfect information. These are people that already know me, have already been through the first course. And so they're not the ideal prospect. I mean, I'm selling to the general world out there. I'm also selling to these guys. But the general world, you know, the general prospects that haven't been exposed to me, my teachings, or my material, they're going to probably have different questions and different areas and needs than my original product launch formula owners. But still, this is good data. It's going to tell me where the market is at and what people are thinking. So what are the most important things I need to cover in 2.0? What should I include in the course? Now, I'm asking more questions here because these are people that I have a relationship with. Plus, they have an incentive to go through this because I told them they're going to get in the inner sanctum if they go through this. As I mentioned earlier, as a member of the PLF. Okay, now here, look at this. As I mentioned earlier, as a member of the PLF owner's inner sanctum, you're going to get a crazy deal on this. But what do you think I should charge the general public for this type of mentoring program? Now, in general, I don't like to survey on price because I don't think you tend to get very good results. But I had these people, I'm running through the survey anyways. I knew they were going to take the survey. So I figured, why not throw this in here? And plus, I'm telling them, you're going to get an upgrade offer. And the people, you know, I did give a very nice upgrade offer to the people who are already product launch formula owners. So I'm saying, you're going to get a great upgrade offer, but what do you think I should charge the rest of the people? And, you know, I got some great data back from there. Part 3, page 3. Just a few more questions. You're inside the inner sanctum. Have you done a product launch yet? So here, what am I doing? I'm fishing for testimonials. Give me the details on your product launch. What's been your experience learning from me? Again, I'm fishing for testimonials. Please tell me your overall impression. More testimonials I'm looking for. And what's been your experience with my follow-up? Well, here I'm going for testimonials, but also I'm getting them to reflect back on my follow-up, which was, frankly, probably better than anyone in the history of internet marketing. I gave them all kinds of great bonuses. So basically, I walked them through very similar, you know, do you agree to keep the materials I share as part of the inner sanctum confidential? It's building up. First of all, I didn't want them going out and blogging about what was coming. If I was going to let them look over my shoulder and see some of my plans for Product Launch Formula 2.0, I didn't want that getting out and, you know, everyone blogging about it and emailing about it. So I wanted to keep it in-house. But there's also that creates this feeling of community. If we got to keep this thing close and tight and we can't, I don't want you going sharing this to other people. It's like we're creating a little family, that inner sanctum, right? So that sense of community also helps build your launch. And then I just ask them if I can use their material in my marketing. And I got some great, great testimonials. The interesting thing is I never ended up using any of these testimonials because I had so many fantastic case studies, like generally video case studies. I just didn't need these testimonials. So I didn't end up using them, but you know, it just never hurts to gather testimonies. It's just, there could have been a time in my launch where it's like, oh boy, I need to publish something. I could put together, you know, 30 or 40 or 50 testimonials. And I got tons of great testimonials from this. Tons. And actually, you know, another cool thing is I also got a lot of people did great launches and I can go to them and I can actually do case studies with them. So that case studies are better than testimonials. Okay. Let's see what we've got next. So that's basically doing a survey, and you saw how I did it via email. You saw a testimonial cruncher. The initial shot across the bow was just this idea that something's coming. You saw how I put out that first email. We're finally getting ready to do this. You know, that whole, you know, this one I just did for Product Launch Formula version 1. You know, I asked them to be confidential, but still, they know something's coming. So some of them are going to let that slip. And the idea that PLF 2.0 is coming is going to be out in the market. I showed you how we use SurveyMonkey. It's very, very easy to use. S database is another one. I just, for some reason, haven't used it very often. It does have some really nice capabilities. Some of the things it does better than SurveyMonkey. And so you might want to take a look at that one. They probably got a free trial. Okay, other ways to identify the product and objections. Let's close this up here. Discussion. By that, I just mean your ongoing discussion with your market. I talked about that in the strategy portion. You always want to be encouraging discussion. People write back to you via email, making comments in your blogs. Another area is in forums. You can find forums for your topic, for your niche. If you go to bigboards.com and just do a search, if it's growing big tomatoes, you could probably just search on gardening there. Let's pull that up really quick. Okay, here we go. It's just big-boards.com. So if we're going to do growing big tomatoes, let's see. There's probably not anything under growing tomatoes, I'm betting. What is it? There we go. Not really anything there. We do have marijuana growing. But how about if we just say gardening? There we go. We got a winner. You can find some gardening, a gardening forum there. How about if we said guitar? If we were all about guitar, learning guitar, there's a whole bunch of them for guitar. The other way you can do it is just if you go to Google. And you type in gardening forums. And there's a whole bunch of them here. So this is better than big boards right here. If we said guitar forums. So the way you use forums is you go to the forums and you can just go in here and search. Let's see if we get one of these. This is, you can go in here and say you're going to do a course on acoustic guitar. You can go in here and just surf around and see what type of questions people are having, what kind of issues they're having. This is great market research. I mean, it's really easy to waste time in the forums, but, it's just a really good way to research it. A lot of times, if you see here, it gives you the number of views. You can go down here and you can start to see what the hot points are for people. If you look at what ones are getting the most views, these are probably like sticky, like they stay up there all the time. So they got tons of views. But if you go down here, well, people are interested in pickups, right? And I'm sure there's a way you could page. Let's see. You can page through these, here, 612. I don't know what that means. But let's go back up to the top. There's usually a lot more stuff about electric guitars. You go down here, and you can start to see, okay, people are interested in posting their gear. So that's got a lot of views. Okay, so that'll keep on going on. But here's one. Strat, probably modifications. Double neck guitars is getting a lot of views. So you can start to see not only what topics are hot, and everyone wants to know about the best guitar here, 342 views. You can not only see what are the hot topics, but also what are the words in the hot topics that get people's attention. And that's a good way to start to see, copying what gets people's attention in your market, your niche. It's a sort of a clandestine way of figuring out, getting in touch with your market really quick. So forums can be great for basically market intelligence. And you can even go in there and create your own threads. If you don't see anything, you could say, go to that gardening thread, gardening forum, and put in a thread that says, boy, I'm creating a product about growing big tomatoes, and what do I really need to cover? Or if you just forget about the part about the product, if you just go in there and say, hey, what are your top concerns and questions about growing tomatoes? and then start a thread going there. Great market research. Social media, I'm going to talk a little bit more about social media down here in the early buzz section, so I don't want to get into it too much here, but that's just another place where you can do market intelligence.